من البلدي. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد، should we?
Should
we continue this? Your point?
I think
tomorrow we have only this and this stuff.
Right. Somebody want to go now? Or everybody asking questions?
Can he get the mic?
Nobody can come up here.
My question is about Ahad Ahadith, because it had some brothers came to me and asked me about it, because the other brother who came in their masjid and gave a lecture and told them that the Ahad Ahadith is like Sahih al-Bukhari is not 100% authentic because it has Ahad Ahadith in it. Okay, so I like, you know, the brothers came to me, but I like most of the inshallah ta'ala.
The brother is asking about one type of ahadith known in Arabic by ahadith al-ahad. Ahadith al-ahad, الأخ يسأل عن نوع من أنواع الأحاديث ويتسمى أحاديث الأحاد. وأحاديث الأحاد هو الحديث الذي يرويه واحد عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم يرويه عنه واحد ثم يرويه عنه واحد وهكذا، يسمونه حديث آحاد، يعني واحد عن واحد عن واحد وهكذا. حديث آحاد is the hadith that is reported from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم by only one Sahabi. And from this one Sahabi only one Tabi'i narrated. And from this one Tabi'i only one Tabi'i narrated. They call it a hadith ahad. فيقول الأخ إن أحد الناس تكلم في مسجد من المساجد في ترينيداد وقال بأن أحاديث الآحاد غير صحيحة ولو كانت في البخاري. This man says أحاديث الآحاد are not authentic even if it is. ايوه، لان هذا مبني بجسد، يعني he said that all the صحيح البخاري is صحيح except for احاديث الاحاد. Okay, he said صحيح البخاري is not 100% صحيح because احاديث احاد. This is a statement came out of a mouth of a person who doesn't have any idea of علم الحديث. This is a statement that يعني هذه عبارة خرجت من فم إنسان لا صلة له ولا دراية ولا معرفة بعلم الحديث. نعم، this is a statement that came out of a mouth of a person that does not have any idea of علم الحديث. وإلا لما قال هذا. Otherwise you cannot say that. أما القول بأن أحاديث صحيح البخاري بأن صحيح البخاري ليس كل ما فيه صحيح، هذا قد يكون، ولا نجادل فيه لأنه ليس القرآن. The saying that صحيح البخاري is not all authentic, this might be, because it's not Quran revealed. لكن عليه أن يثبت لنا هذا الحديث ليس صحيح بدليل كذا وكذا وكذا في العلة الفلانية والعلة الفلانية والعلة. But he must prove to us the hadith which is not sahih based on the rules of the muhaddithin, that this hadith has this defect and this defect and this defect. لكن أن يقول لأن هناك حديث أحد فيه, but to say that because there are حديث أحد, هذه ليس حجة. لم يقل أحد من أهل العلم بالحديث, لا الشافعي ولا مالك ولا أحمد ولا إسحاق ولا ابن معين ولا الأوزاعي ولا الثوري, ولا أحد من أهل العلم بالحديث قال بأن أحاديث الأحد ليست صحيحة. None of the علماء of hadith, the like of الشافعي, مالك, أحمد, إسحاق, أوزاعي, ابن معين, ثوري, whomsoever, none of them said the hadith which is أحد is not صحيح, ضعيف. وليس هذا هو طريقة التصحيح والتضعيف عند أهل العلم. And this is not the way of authenticity and unauthenticity to the علماء of hadith. والإمام البخاري واحد من أعلام أئمة الحديث. And الإمام البخاري is one of the major scholars of hadith. فكيف يأتي هذا المسكين في هذا الزمان ليجرح على الإمام البخاري بهذا الجرح؟ How come this miskin come in this time to criticize Imam Bukhari with his criticism? كأنه يقول إن الإمام البخاري لم يعرف تصحيح طريقة التصحيح والتضعيف. It's like he's saying that Imam Bukhari doesn't know the way of authentication and unauthentication of a hadith. وهذا من فرط جهله. This is because of his extreme ignorance. أو من أجل اتباع هوا. Or because the following of desire. حين يتكلمون في أحاديث الآحاد هم أصحاب الهوى. Because those who speak about أحاديث الآحاد are the people of desire. لأن كثير من أحاديث العقائد, ليس كثير لكن جملة من أحاديث العقائد, يعني وردت عن طريق الآحاد. Because number of the أحاديث related to the عقيدة were reported by أحاد, one from one from one. الذي عند المعتبر عند أهل العلم, which is authentic to the people of knowledge, أن أحاديث الآحاد إذا كان رواتها كلهم عدول ثقات فإن أحاديثهم صحيحة. They say that if the hadith of أحاد is reported by narrators who are all witnesses that they are trustworthy and capable, and has the capability of delivering the ahadith, then why we don't take their ahadith? ثم أنا أسأله هل القرآن أحد؟ Is the Quran from أحد or not from أحد؟ لم يأتي به إلا جبريل, ما جاء عشر من الملائكة. Only Jibreel brought the Quran. It's not 10 angels came with the Quran. ثم من أخذه من جبريل وبلغه للصحابة؟ واحد, محمد. Then who got it from Jibreel and conveyed to the Sahaba? It's only one, Muhammad. فهل نرد القرآن لأنه جاءنا من طريق واحد؟ هذا غلط, هذا كلام ساقط. This is a nonsense speech, has no value. والمهم أن يرد الأمر إلى أهله. The important thing is we refer back the issue to people who are specialists. فلا نتدخل في أمور لسنا أهلا لها, لأنه كما قيل من تكلف فني أتى بالعجائب. So we don't interfere in anything that we are not qualified in. Because as they say, whoever speaks in something that he is not a specialist in will bring very surprise things. فلو تكلم المكانيكي في الطب لرأيت عجبا, ولربما أمر المريض بشرب زيت الفرامل. If a mechanic speaks in medicine science, then he'll bring very strange things. And maybe he commands the ill person to drink the brake liquid, the brake fluid. لأنه ولا يحصل إلا هذا because he doesn't know it's different. نعم. فلذلك لا يصح أبدا أن يتدخل الإنسان في علم لا يحسنه أو يتكلم في علم لا يحسنه. One should not interfere in knowledge that he is not aware of. وعندما نقول يحسنه يعني يحسنه يعني درسه على أهله، لم يقرأه من الكتب فقط من غير دراسة على أهله. When we say he knows this knowledge, meaning that he studied it with the people who are specialists in it, not only reads it from books or يقرأه من الانترنت or he goes to the internet website and just collect. هذا خطأ وهذه فوضى. This is a kind of myth. وكأن دين الإسلام هو أضعف الأديان وأقلها وأرخصها، كل الناس تتكلم فيه. It is like that the religion of Islam is the cheapest and lowest and least important matter. So everyone can just take and speak and do. هذا غلط يا إخوان، هذا غلط. لا بد أن نحترم ديننا. We should respect our religion. ومن احترام الدين احترام علمائه. And from the respect of the deen is to respect the people of knowledge. كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم، ليس منا من لم يرحم صغيرنا ويحترم كبيرنا ويعرف لعالمنا قدره. He is not one of us, that person who is not merciful with the youngest ones and not respecting the eldest and not knowing the virtue of the alim. فلا بد أن نحترم العلماء. We have to respect the علماء. نعم والله أعلم.
Anybody has question? Can you have the right?
How
do you like?
Just before we went to the last, when Chinese temperature is more than all of us have, if you want to go through the ground, should be there. The last, when, let's say you are correct, the moment, present moment, you have to form a child. It's not possible that he will be there. The young man, when he married him, well, probably what is a family, so he probably can't have a family in the city. I'm interested mostly in the boys and the boys, especially people that are in the age of that person. What kind of life do you think that he is a man? Point somebody who has two persons to go to the education, I believe you should have a class. Let them know how they should go to the other. So therefore, if they go and then not yet, one of these girls should go to the other. And I would most likely have been the same kind of life for each man. The man is the working person, that's a good person. We have a pretty big family.
Now what you said is 100% correct. What you said is 100% correct.
Correct.
And I agree with you 100%. The imam, the muaddin and the imam should be full-time job or available. And if in case the muadzin is incapable to be there all the time, there should be an alternative muadzin. But what I mean, what I said means that we, yani, the, if there is or there are persons who are designated for these jobs, like the muadzin, imam, or the guard of the masjid, we should not interfere in their job by meaning assigning them. But if he is absent, of course we're not going to close the masjid. We're not going to close the masjid. Whether the masjid authorities designated an alternative person or not, we should not close the masjid. The adhan must go on time. The salah must be fulfilled on time. So that's why we in Saudi, I in my masjid, I'm here now in Tobago, and I have a brother that I asked him to lead the prayer there in my masjid. And I have a muadzin who is 5 times prayer there. And whenever he is going somewhere, he calls someone and he calls me saying that I'm out and I want so and so to make the adhan. So this way it goes. But to keep the masjid in the midst, no one knows, yani, today Lord is time, tomorrow 15 minutes after time, a day after tomorrow, no one calls door, that is not correct. That is not correct. As long as we have a masjid built as a masjid, we need to have these positions filled properly. What I meant is, there is a muadzin who is regularly there. There is imam who is regularly there, but someone doesn't like the muadzin or someone doesn't like the imam, and he comes intentionally to do that. Here is the problem. Here is the problem. But if the muadzin didn't come in time, anyone can call the adhan. Anyone can call the adhan. If the imam doesn't come, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for yani, some reason, he did not come one day to the masjid on time. He was in Al-Ghaba, they call it the jungle, in Medina. And he was late. He did not come to the masjid on time. Bilal, the muazzin, when the time of the Iqama came, he asked Abu Bakr Siddiq, shall I call the Iqama and you lead the prayer? Abu Bakr said yes. Not because Abu Bakr is eager to lead, and he let me do it before the Prophet comes, no, but because he was afraid that the people may fall in fitna by waiting. So he called and Abu Bakr led the prayer. While Abu Bakr was leading the prayer, the Prophet ﷺ came. The people started saying, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Abu Bakr realized that the Prophet ﷺ came. He came and prayed beside Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr wanted to step back. The Prophet ﷺ held him. And he then was calling for the ruku', this, and the Prophet ﷺ calling behind him. On other occasion, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf led the prayer instead of Rasulullah ﷺ, because Rasulullah ﷺ wasn't there. Now, but these are yani incidents that not every yani we have 35 prayers a week, or let's say 34 excluding the Jum'ah, so the Imam is 15 times 20 times there, or the Muaddin 15 times 20 times there. This is wrong. I mean the Imam or Muaddin, whether there is only one or two or three. And if we have two or three Muaddinin, it's not correct that they all be absent. It's not correct. Or we have two or three Imams, all of them absent. This is not correct. You know what I mean? Wallahu a'lam. Naam.
Question from Inet. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. How does someone from the general people who are not students of knowledge deal with the difference of opinion amongst the scholars and madhab in regard to this salah?
A person who is not student of knowledge.
Or
is the common people, not student of knowledge. How he deals with that?
The difference of opinion among the scholars and madhab in regard to the salah.
How a person who is from the general people, meaning he is not student of knowledge, deal with the different opinions of the scholars in salah? Well, I don't know why the questioner make it only on salah. Aren't there different opinions in siyam, in hajj, in umrah, in zakah? All have different opinions. The common person who is not a student of knowledge, should look to the ulama of his time, and whom he finds the most trustworthy to him, he follows him. Not in one issue and then finds another one. Some of them, for example, he takes this alim's opinion in praying the Tahiyyat al-Masjid, that it is not obligatory. So he likes to come and sit. That's why he took the opinion of this alim. Then he come, this alim, same alim, say, for example, that you have to pray in a certain way. For example, you have to go on sujood on your hands, not on your knees. And he doesn't like to go on his hands. Then he say, no. There is another opinion. I'll take the other opinion. He say, no, this is not correct. This is not correct. You took this alim as your alim, then you follow him in all, except when has an opinion that differ, that is opposite of what a clear hadith says. Then you cannot put the alim before the Prophet. Okay? And even do not try to bring excuses, because some of the people try to bring excuses for their alim. They say, do you think the alim didn't know this hadith? He must have known it, but he must have understood it differently. Now, this is even bad, worse. How come an alim know the hadith and know it is authentic, and then he say, I don't take it, and his followers do not take it? This alim is not doing something good or correct. And I don't assume that the alim will do that. But if found, then this alim should not be followed. Not at all, because it's a matter of desire then. It's a matter of desire. How come an alim chooses to be about an opinion that no any dalil on it, while the dalil against it? This is not an alim then. He's an alim su, alim of evil. And I don't assume that there is like that, but if there is, he should be dropped. He should be abandoned, because he tries to put himself above our Prophet. And we should not accept from anyone, we should break the neck of anyone who tries to come above our Prophet. This is our beloved Prophet. And the day of resurrection, there is only one intercessor that's going to intercede for beginning the judgment. Only one. Only one. Not two. Only one. That is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how come we put someone else before him? That is not correct. That is not correct. So the army, the common person, should see which alim he feels that is the best. Take all the matters from him. All of your deen, take it from him. And this is not ta'assub. When it becomes ta'assub? When the hadith, the clear, authentic hadith is given to you, and you still insist, no, but my alim said. Yani the other person tell you, my prophet say, you say, but my alim say, I don't care about your prophet. That is bad. That is bad. I tell you, the prophet say, you say, I don't care about the prophet. My alim say, that is wrong. And trying to find an excuse, but the alim must have seen the hadith. He may be find it weak, he may be... There are principles to measure the hadith, if it is weak or not weak. We go back to these principles. If the hadith is authentic, what is the value of the speech of this alim who says it is not authentic? Because it is easy. I can tell you, any hadith you bring it, it is not sahih. It is weak. Okay, based on what? Is it based on the principles? Or based on the hawa, desire? If based on the principles, alhamdulillah, we take it. Show me, tell me that this narrator is da'if. But because you don't like the hadith, you say, this hadith is da'if, don't take it. This is not correct. This is only the Christians and the Jews doing that. We get them. The Christians and the Jews, the followers cannot ask anything. They should blindly follow. That's wrong. Now, Allahu A'lam. Khalas? You have questions? لا الحديث كان فور وضوء لا وضوء لمن لم يذكر اسم الله لا صلاة إلا بوضوء ولا وضوء لمن لم يذكر اسم الله الحديث كان فور وضوء and you have وضوء receive the غسل you can't say the بسم الله بيت الله تفضل طالب العلم he's a student of علم. Now we said there is a difference between تقليد is permissible for all but everyone تقليد is limited to his level. The common person who is not student of knowledge, who is a student of knowledge is not the one who attends the lecture. This is not the student of knowledge. The student of knowledge is the one who can tell you. If he is studying fiqh, he can tell you the usul of fiqh. If he is studying hadith, he can tell you the mustalah of hadith and usul of hadith. If he is studying the aqidah, he can tell you the principles of aqidah that the ulama of aqidah go upon. This is called talibul ilm, student of knowledge. But the person who just attends the lecture, this is not a talibul ilm. Every Muslim should attend lecture. Every Muslim should attend reminder, because this gathering will increase the reward, will bring security for us, will provide us the pleasure of Allah. Now, so student of knowledge, by the meaning of student of knowledge, the one who can tell you the principles of knowledge, he knows them, so he can use them to figure out which saying is the proper. Then that is the difference. So the common person, as we said earlier, he cannot in between this alim and that alim in every other opinion. La. Because he is going to confuse himself. He is going to be swinging. And at the end he is going to get, you know, he might get, crazy. Say, what's this? Everyone is telling me something. So this person, the person is the simple one, the common person, should look to, into the ulama and see which one to him, at least to him, is the one as the best. And then follow him. The only time he should not follow him is when the saying of this art contradicts or conflicts with the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then this is not permissible. But not, okay, you take a alim and you follow him, and I take a alim and follow him. My alim has different opinion and the issue of wudu than your alim. I come and debate you. No, okay, you should change because my alim says this. This is wrong. This is wrong. Why should you change? And why should I change? But when I come to you, I say, Akhi, this is a hadith. The Prophet ﷺ says, the wudu is this way, not as you do. Then you should not even, you should just say. Talibul ilm, who is firm in ilm, and even Tulabul ilm are not the same level. One in the Jami'a Islamiyah, in the Islamic University in Medina, and the Arabic Institute, is not like the one who is in the second year in the college. And the one in second year in the college is not like the one who is in the fourth year or graduated. Everyone has a different amount of knowledge. So everyone should deal with it differently. Now, but طالب العلم, who is strong in ilm, what is his position? The ulama say talib al-ilm should look into the different opinions of the scholars and analyze it. Study the adilla, the evidences of each one. Study the adilla of each one, which is the strongest in narration, which has a clear, more clear guidance than the other in this issue. I like that, because he has the capability on here. Even the ulama can do taqleed. Even the ulama do taqleed. And look, the ulama of hadith today are doing taqleed of the ulama in the past in their judgment of the narrators. Imam Ibn Ma'in said this man is da'if, we follow him in that. So we are making taqlid to him. But this is for the ulama. And the taqlid of the ulama is very limited, small. Because the ulama of hadith today did not see this narrator. They never see him to examine him. So they take the statement of the ulama of the past, and they follow them on that. But for an alim today, to go and just follow other alim and issue that he can't do ijtihad on it, this is wrong. So everyone should, and the alim should do ijtihad on the evidences themselves. Talib al-ilm should do ijtihad in the saying of the ulama. The army should do ijtihad on the ulama themselves. Which one is to him more knowledgeable, more trustworthy? Then he goes and he follows it. And by that we have protection and safety for all. But what's happening today is a big myth. What's happening today is a big myth. The common person is taking the duty of a alim. The student of knowledge is taking the duty of even maybe messenger. Kibar al-ulama. And they have, يعني, mashallah, a very يعني, brightening name. Al-Shaykh al-Allama, al-Muhajjit al-Yani. All the literal and the Shaykh of Islam. Na'am, wallahu a'lam.
I don't want to say that I misunderstood the Imam's, that maybe you misunderstood the Imam's question, but if you didn't, then for my own clarification, what I thought he was asking too was, if somebody from the general people has his two opinions on an issue, and you, as you said, take all your deen from the one alim that you chose, as a common man. Now he heard another opinion that seems stronger to him. Not just based on hadith, maybe there's a dalil on both sides, but to him, he's convinced. He's convinced of the other opinion. From an alim, two alims. You have an alim, my alim, and then he says, okay, I take my deen from this alim, but now I heard this alim say such and such, and it convinces me of that opinion. In this one issue, no hadith, or both have strong hadith, both have strong adillah. Can I now take that opinion in this issue, even though you just said take all your deen from, is that, that's kind of what you meant? One issue, right?
If you don't mind, I'm going to give example, but don't misunderstand it. I do not mean the alim or this army is like what I'm saying, but I'm trying to bring it simple. The army with the alim is like the wife with the husband. Not in other meaning, but the wife should only obey the husband and listen to the husband. Okay? She cannot choose it. You know what I mean? This her husband say, you cover your face, and her neighbor's husband or her friend's husband told his wife not to cover her face, she cannot go and take that because she is convinced. No. Na'am, because she doesn't have the right. The army doesn't have the ability. It's not a matter of convinced and not convinced. We did not say it's upon the convenience. I didn't say convenience. Neither for the common person, nor for Talib al-Ilm, nor for the Alim, nor for the Sahabi, nor for a Prophet. It's to use what Allah Ta'ala gave you from the ability. The Prophet will take only what has been revealed to him. Nothing else. Only what's been revealed to him. And that's why Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He never speaks out of desire, but it is all revelation. A companion will only take what they hear and knew from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The alim will take what he got from the evidences and proofs, The talib al-ilm, as we said, will analyze and study the different opinions based on what? This is the duty of talib al-ilm. Two scholars say two different opinions. طالب العلم go there and try to study this alim saying and what is his evidences. This alim saying and his evidences, and then he can see which one. But the army to go even beyond that, to choose who is more convenient to me, who I am more convenient with, this is not correct. This is not correct. I even did not say you choose the alim based on your convenience. I said based on who you think and believe that he is more knowledgeable and more trustworthy. Then you take from him. Then you take from him. I believe.
I guess from that, because I myself is looking for clarification too, right? From that, then I guess the follow-up question is, can you define for us the army, the talibul ilm, and the sheikh, and the alim? Because that's one of the questions online as well. Who is, and what is the definition of an alim? So from that, we would know, from based on what you said, which, what category each person falls into.
I wanted to be honest.
The follow-up question that I'm asking, based on what you're saying there, that can you define for us then what is the army, who is the army, who is the talibul ilm, and who is the alim, that we know perhaps what category we think we fall into or we do fall into.
I think I have said that, and I told you even very detailed. I said the talibul ilm is the one who is a specialist in certain fields, and he can tell us the details of that field. If he is studying fiqh, he can tell us the details of fiqh. Usul, the usul. Not the general one, you ask him about the principles, or I don't know, or what he knows, or Imam al-Nawawi said in Riyad al-Salihin, or now based on what? Based on what? Or Sheikh Albani said the hadith is da'if, then he's not the talib al-ilm. He's not talib al-ilm. This is any common person today can tell us that. Any person can tell us that. Can go to the book of Albani and find the hadith is da'if. And he comes and tell you the hadith is da'if. Okay. Can you explain to me on what principle is this it is da'if? Here is talib al-ilm. Talib al-ilm can be known and seen. The one who knows the principles of the field he's speaking of him. And talib al-ilm. I tell you something. Even between the ulama, Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala said to Ahmad, if you know the hadith, you tell me about it. I'll go to it, whether it is in al-Sham or in al-Basra. Ahmad is a student of Shafi'i, but he's referring the issue to him because Ahmad is more specialist in hadith. It does not mean Shafi'i doesn't have knowledge of hadith. No, he's one of the imams, but Ahmad has more knowledge of hadith than Shafi'i. That's why. So talib al-ilm is the one who knows the principles of the field of ilm that he is specialist in. But what we have today, as we have in the hospital, what they call the general doctor, huh? What do you call that general doctor?
General practitioner.
Anybody comes to him, he can't analyze any eye or nose, leg, stomach, whatsoever. Then today, most of the modern tulab al-ilm is like that, general. And he cannot give you the principles of any field of knowledge. Exactly like the general practitioner doctor. He cannot give you the specific details of each field of medicine. He just has it general. But imagine if the hospital has only general practitioner. Mushkila, big problem.
ولا لا دكتور isn't it? We need the specialist. Same as the طلاب العلم. We need to have يعني طلاب العلم who are specialists in fields of knowledge. Not just general like that. نعم والله أعلم هذا لي ولا لي طيب خلاص طيب ونسأل الله عز وجل أن يجمعنا دائما على طاعته ومحبته والإخاء والألفة فيه. I ask Allah Ta'ala that He always gather us upon His obedience, His love and brotherhood for His sake. ويبعد عنا نزغات الشياطين. And He may take away from us all the whispers of the shayateen and make us from those who all of their deeds are sincerely for Him and following in obtaining them His Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.